Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To Border, the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Voted on by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. The award-winning Wendy's Big Show.
Let's get ready to rock. Let's get ready to go. Get set. Hey! Get up. Hey! Let's get it on with
the Wendy's Big Show.
Oh, showtime, baby.
Where's the ball?
Showtime.
This is the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Pro Football Hall of Famer Leroy Butler.
Well, it's the Big Show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler off today. AR Adam Roberts, other side of the glass. So thanks to Tim Allen for joining us there in the first hour. Coming up this hour, Ken Barkley, you better, you bet, BetQL Odyssey, joins us in 1.5 hour talking about the NBA draft tonight and the picks and how all of a sudden the odds of who was going one to Orlando dramatically changed in the last 24 hours or so. So need to talk to him as far as what's going on, because the NBA reporting world seems to be different than the gambling world right now, and really kind of want to get his feel on what all is really happening. So talk to him about that, get his thoughts on the Bucks and so forth. And then also we'll get to Ryan McDonough, Odyssey NBA insider, former Suns general manager, in about 90 minutes, and talk more about the NBA draft coming up tonight. So the draft is tonight. Bucks have pick number 24. The question I have for you is simple one. Do you want the Bucks to keep that pick at 24? Take the best available player? Well, in this case, I hate saying best available because it's not going to be the case. I mean, John Horst pretty much has already said on the record that he wants an older type player. He doesn't want a project. He wants somebody that can come in and play and contribute right away, similar to a DiVincenzo. That's pretty much what he's looking for. So he's not looking for a Giannis. Or Larry Sanders or Brandon Jennings or whatever the case may be, where they have a year out of high school and maybe they're not ready to play right away. So he doesn't want a project per se. He wants a person that can come in and contribute. So maybe sophomore, a junior, maybe. I'm guessing maybe that's what he's talking about. So we'll have to wait and see what he does. So you want the Bucks to keep the pick at 24, trade up. And as we talked about yesterday, there are numerous reports that the Bucks are trying to trade up in the first round. Now, the only thing I can possibly imagine that is that in play here would be Grayson Allen would be in play possibly in his long-term deal if they're looking to move Grayson Allen. Brook Lopez on an expiring, again, as we've talked about, I'd be absolutely shocked and floored if they were to move Brook Lopez on an expiring contract. George Hill nets you nothing. So even if George Hill were in that deal, I'm not sure that is anything more than a salary filler to match with whatever else you're getting back on the other side of this thing. So I think it has to almost be Grayson Allen at this point if that's what they're going to do. Or would you prefer they just trade the pick? Not even worry about having a rookie on your team, right? Maybe somebody comes to you and says, hey, look, man, you can have our first next year. We just want 24. You can have our one next year. Because next year, they don't have a one. Next year, the Milwaukee Bucks have multiple twos. So maybe the Bucks look at this draft class, look at next year's potential draft class, and that's still very hard to, right? Because really, next year's potential draft class, yeah, you've got a couple of college kids that you expect to come out that maybe you wanted to come out that didn't come out this year, fine. But more or less, that's all about what this current high school class is and then what they project to do in their 1 year in college before they head to the NBA. See Pat Baldwin Jr., that really isn't necessarily always going to be the way you think it's going to be as far as how it's going to play out. Pat Baldwin Jr., one of the top kids in his class, goes to play Milwaukee with his dad, which I thought was a huge deal for the Panthers, huge deal for father-son to get to coach your son in college and all of that. It was just a great story. And unfortunately, he got hurt and couldn't stay healthy. Now, I have no idea how that affects his draft status. Does he still go in the first round? Does he slip to the second round? Because in the NBA draft, as we all know, it's all about upside at the end of the day, as much as it is as far as what you did in college. So having said that, if they project that high school class to be really good next year, and this team that's trying to trade to 24 puts him in a relatively similar situation next year, and if they think next year's draft class has a chance to be deeper than this year's, maybe they do something like that, where they give up their one this year to get a one next year, or something along those lines. So that's the question. What do you want the Bucks to do? Stay at 24, move up, and possibly give up a veteran player along the way? Or would you rather see them trade away this pick because they have no second-round pick this year? Maybe you aren't aware of that. Bucks have no second. So if they trade away one, then odds are, unless they were to trade into two, but odds are they would have no rookie players. They'd come out of this draft with nobody and would continue to build through veteran free agency and trades and so forth. What do you want the Bucks to do? Keep the pick at 24, trade up, or trade it away? The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. And you could also tweet us at Big Show Network. Start with AR Adam Roberts. Didn't really hear him at all in the first hour of the show. Bring him in here.
Hello.
What do you think would be your play tonight for the Bucks if you had your say in how this whole thing's going to play out?
So this morning, I actually had some time to think about this a little bit as I was at my other job doing some work on the golf course. And what I was thinking was, in a perfect world, now I am focusing tonight, my draft attention is all on Johnny Davis. I'm very excited about what and where he is going to be doing. And I think potentially San Antonio or Washington could be a great fit for him.
Sure.
Now, in my dream fantasy perfect world, I would love for them to do some sort of a package deal and try to move up into that 10-11 range. We all know, you and I and everyone listening, that that's not going to happen. So I'm thinking at 24, and we've had this conversation before, that pick, if you're going to use it, you want to have someone who's going to be able to step right up this upcoming season and have at least somewhat of a tangible impact. And if you can't find that at 24, which, I mean, the talent pool this year is thinner than it is in the past, I think you try out probably, best case scenario, trade out of that 24 spot.
So let me ask you this, because I hear a lot of people on the radio saying what you just said, which is, well, how much of an impact are they really going to have? You deemed it as a tangible impact.
Sure.
So let me dig deeper. In your mind, what is a tangible impact? Is a tangible impact 20 minutes a night? Is a tangible impact 10 minutes a night? How do you view a tangible impact?
I would say a guy who has a tangible impact for me is someone who can come, even if it's off the bench, maybe play 15 minutes, serve as kind of a Connaughton-style point getter, where he's going to be, on a good night, maybe 10, 12 points, couple rebounds in key situations and a few assists. I'm not asking for a ton.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. My thing is this. If you see tonight during the draft that the Bucks, well, actually, the NBA is stupid. Quick rant.
Go for it.
By the way, my kid hates that word.
I heard that.
So like every time I say that word, daddy, that's a bad word. Say you're sorry. Okay, sorry. But this is the thing. The one thing, there are a couple of things that drive me nuts. For years, I used to do a draft show on our station in Milwaukee for, I don't know, 13 years, 14 years, whatever it was. We did draft shows every night. Normally draft parties out at restaurants, out at bars, whatever the case is. And we'd always have really good turnouts from a lot of different people and always had a blast doing it. But when social media came along and Twitter came along, that's what kind of ruined it for me. So then I instituted a rule on our show when we were on remote that all phones are off. There is no Twitter activity. The producer can be on Twitter to tell us if there's a trade or whatever, but I don't want to be on Twitter. I don't want to know what's coming before we play it on the radio. So I love the idea of guessing of what I think they're going to do, what the team's going to do, right? Whatever. What I really don't like about this draft, more so than the others, A, they get 5-6 picks in front of what the actual picks are because Wojnarowski and Sharania can't contain themselves. And that I would put an end to if I was Silver. But either way, so that's the one thing I hate. The second thing I can't stand is we find out trades 12 picks after the fact that, oh, that pick back there, that was actually made for this team. And now that last pick was made for this team, and that's what's happening. At least in the NFL, they tell you, we have a trade, and this is happening. In the NBA, it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So you don't even know if you're making a trade or not. Now, unless one of these insiders tell you, hey, they got this deal in principle. This pick is actually going to be for them. But that, again, that's so frustrating. But anyways, if the Bucks move up, I would have to imagine it's Grayson Allen. And then my next thing is, that means whoever they're drafting at 14 is a wing, probably shooting guard, and is starting. That would be my guess. If they go screaming up to 14 or 15 or 16, and Allen is the one that's on the move, they're drafting his replacement. That's what's happening. They're going to get a guy that they like better than maybe Grayson, who's cheaper, obviously, a lot cheaper than what Grayson Allen is, to come in and play that position. Now, that might have to do with future payroll. That's why you're doing it at that point. Maybe you want a different type of player who's a better defender than Grayson Allen, because God knows he's not good at defending anybody. And, you know, 3-and-D guys, you can find those type of guys, you know, in this draft. For instance, Wendell Moore Jr. Is a guy out of Duke that is maybe going to be there around the middle of the first round. And he is kind of that guy, right? He can shoot the outside shot, can pass the ball, can get in passing lanes, get some deflections, can get out and run a little bit, and can be that type of player that Grayson Allen isn't all the way of being. And, you know, maybe he's that guy that then you play next to Drew Holiday. And that's your shooting guard going forward with Middleton at the three, Giannis and Brook Lopez, and he feels more of a need of what you have at this point. Because you have to start thinking about, after this year with Brook Lopez, as far as, okay, are we going to pay him the money? And if the answer is no, the odds of you finding a shot blocker like him are slim, which then means your only shot blocker is going to be Giannis, which means you better have good defensive guards up front to try and stop ball penetration more than you have with Grayson Allen at this point.
What I really like about Moore going over his stats and numbers from 2019 through the end of last season, the thing that sticks out to me is the consistent improvement over time of his three-point shooting. Started out shooting less than 1-for-4 of his every three-point shot he took, and he worked that up to over 41%. That shows you he has the skills and he is also a good learner. So if you can get him even higher than 41%, you're golden.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, from that perspective, that would make sense to me. We're going to go up to a team that doesn't want another rookie, wants a vet to come in and try and get them into the playoffs or whatever the case may be. Fine. Great. Has the cap room. They can absorb the deal. All for it. Go do what you got to do and get that wing. But then it's going to be, okay, well, if you're starting a rookie, then you're going to have some learning that's going to go along with this. And there's not going to be a ton of pressure on him because you have the big three in Lopez. So from that aspect, there's not going to be a ton going, you have to score in the first unit. You're not going to have to score the first unit. You just got to play good D and hit an open three when Giannis gets you the ball or when Middleton gets you the ball. That's really all they need at that position. And if you can get out from Grayson Allen's contract, it makes sense. So for me, if we're moving up the Bucks and it gets off Grayson Allen to a guy like a Wendell Moore, I love it. I'm all for it. As far as keeping the pick at 24, I'm fine with that too, because I think there's enough depth If you want to go that way, that I think you're going to get a good player or two maybe that will fall to you at 24. The other thing that doesn't happen in the NBA draft, that happens in the NFL draft, no trading back. Trade backs don't happen in the NBA draft. And I don't, for the love of me, I don't understand why it doesn't happen, right? Because in the NBA draft, your contracts are guaranteed through the first round. And then they're not in the second round. So if you're an NBA team that's at the bottom of one and you know you don't want a long-term guaranteed deal or whatever else because you're a playoff team, which you should be back there, why wouldn't you trade to the top of the second round? For instance, let's take, I don't have the draft order in front of me, but let's say Orlando has a second-round pick, right? And they're the first pick in this. Well, they're probably not the first pick in the second round because that was a lottery pick. But whoever the first pick is in the second round, if that team wants to come up to 24 and you can move back a few spots, and get that pick and then an additional pick either this year or the following year and get away from that guaranteed contract, that makes sense to me in order to do that.
It's funny you mention Orlando. They actually have, of the first five picks in the second round, they have two. Perfect. One of their own and one they acquired from Indiana.
Right, and you have none. So you literally, and Indiana's top half as well that round. So you literally could get both of those picks, trade out of the first round, let them trade back into the first round to get another pick to go with the number one overall pick and continue to add to their team. Now, I don't know if John Hammond and crew with the Orlando Magic would want another guaranteed contract at this point, but they're rebuilding. They're on full-on rebuild, and there's going to be a good player at 24. And he may want to deal with that more than two second-round picks. So that and again, never happens in the NBA. Just a thought. Do you want the Bucks to keep that pick at 24? Trade up or trade it away, Bucks fans. The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Take your calls coming up next and your tweets at Big Show Network. See Sparky Pfeiffer, AR Adam Roberts, Gary Leroy off today.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
Welcome in. It is the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. We've been telling you the wait's over. Wendy's Summer Strawberry Chicken Salad is back, and it's the event of the summer, featuring freshly prepared ingredients like a mix of salad greens, grilled chicken, oven-baked crispy applewood smoked bacon, candied almonds, Italian cheese blend, and top it all off, fresh summer strawberries. All beautifully tossed together and served with a side of sweet champagne vinaigrette. Only at Wendy's. Don't miss the fan favorite, the Summer Strawberry Chicken Salad. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Steve Sparky Fiber with you. AR Adam Roberts, other side of the glass, coming up in just a few minutes. That will be Ken Barkley. You better, you bet. BetQL, and of course, part of the Odyssey app. Follow him on Twitter at Lockie Lockerson. We'll go over the NBA draft coming up tonight. The question is simple. Do you want the Bucks to get the pick at 24, trade up, or trade it away? Todd tweets at Sparky Radio. Feels like they need to add some young players to the roster. Acquire a second round pick to get a kid like Gillespie and another scoring option. It's funny, Todd, that you bring that up, because when we talked about this yesterday, or was it Monday? I don't know. My days are all confused. Whatever it was, Monday or Tuesday, or Wednesday, with Gary and Leroy, they want veteran players. They're not as interested in adding younger players because you're in a window where you want to compete for a championship. So in their mind, why go through all of that when I can just have a veteran player that can come in here, know his role, do his job, and you know, do it better and quicker than maybe a younger player at this point? And I mean, I get it. I totally understand that aspect and that thinking behind why you would want to do it that way. My only thing is, with the amount of money you have spent, and the questioning of whether or not this Bucks ownership group really wants to spend a ton of money by going into the luxury tax going forward, if that's not something they really want to do a lot of, Obviously, they have to do a certain amount. But if that's not something they really want to do a lot of going forward, then younger players on this roster to fill out this roster make a lot of sense because it saves you a lot of money if you can do that, especially if they're second-round picks. Now, this whole Pat Connaughton thing that happened with Connaughton optioning, taking his option, player option, and everybody's like, whoa, Pat Connaughton, look at here. He could have went on the open market and got all this money, and he decided to stay for less, and man. Then John Hollinger, formerly of the Grizzlies, now with the Athletic, I believe, again, he then tweets out, hey, this very well could be lining up now that he opted in for a four-year extension at like $12 million a year. So that's four at 48. I'm here to tell you, I'm not paying Pat Connaughton $12 million a year, y'all. It's not happening. There's no chance that's happening. If you want to justify Bobby Portis at $10 or $12 million a year, okay, I'll hear it. Pat Connaughton at $12 million a year, if that's how this plays, is insane. And then John Hollinger points out, you know, going deeper and deeper into the salary tax by doing a deal like that, if that's what they decide to do with Pat Connaughton. The one thing that was brought up throughout the NBA Finals by the media, specifically Brian Windhorst of ESPN, was all the money that Joe Lacob spends going into the salary tax for the Golden State Warriors, not really giving a rip about the money that he's spending or how much luxury tax money he's spending because he wants championships. That's all he cares about. He'll figure out how to get the money to pay the luxury tax and everything else. He wants championships. And when Malcolm Brogdon was told to go bye-bye, that they didn't want to spend $20 million a year like the Indiana Pacers, a majority of you lost your mind. I didn't think Malcolm Brogdon was worth $20 million, so I wasn't nearly as upset as all of you, but I had my concerns about whether or not they were actually going to be willing to go into the luxury tax in general. Then PJ Tucker deal comes up last year, and again, another situation where they decide, not really sure PJ Tucker is worth, you know, $6, $7 million a year, so we're going to sit this one out, let him go sign in Miami, because that, again, would have costed more luxury tax money, so they bailed on that deal. Now, they are paying the luxury tax. Let's not get it confused. But the question is, how much do they want to pay into the luxury tax? If they have a number or they have a line in the sand as Bucks ownership group, with Mark Lazary at the head of it currently, his turn, if that number is a line in the sand and Mark and Wes Edens and these guys are saying, don't cross go. Nope. That line right there, we're not going over it. I don't care who you want. We're not going past that number. We can't afford to go past that number. We're not going past that number. If that's a deal, then second round picks are going to fill out the bottom of your roster, or first round picks, you know, that are late first round are going to fill out the bottom of your roster more than, say, some of these other teams back in the day where, you know, you had LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and those guys going and getting a Ray Allen to come play on the bench with them and filling it with a bunch of veteran role play guys or former starters that wanted to go chasing a ring with LeBron and D Wade and those guys. And the last couple of years, you've had similar type players that were coming to Milwaukee to try and make this whole thing work out. 2 years ago, those guys seemingly worked maybe a little bit better than what these guys worked. And you didn't have the injury to Milton 2 years ago like you did this year. That's also part of it as well. Coming up next, Ken Barkley, You Better You Bet, BetQL and Odyssey. Follow him on Twitter at Lockie Lockerson. Next on the Wendy's Big Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
Love lingered last in line for brains, and the one she got was sort of rotten and insane. Small things so sad that birds could land. Is love fast asleep or rocking out with the band? She's love, she's love, she's in my head.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh. The Sparky Pfeiffer flying solo today. Gary and Leroy off. AR Adam Roberts is still here. He is other side of the glass, executive producer, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Lockie Lockerson. He's our guy. Ken Barkley, you better, you bet. BetQL and Odyssey. Schneider's hiring drivers right now. For more info, call him 844-PRIDE. That's 844-PRIDE. Or there's also another way. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE. Or go to SchneiderJobs.com and you'll be all set.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
There is Ken Barkley. How are you doing today, Ken?
Yeah, it was last week, instead of coming on with you, it was here comes the COVID. COVID, 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 COVID. Yeah, it was pretty. That was pretty tough. I'm doing good. I'm pretty good. Are you into the NBA draft at all, Sparky? Is that like a thing for you?
Well, yeah, actually, I, for about 13, 14 years, did a draft party every year and hosted a draft show that would go for about 5 hours long after doing the afternoon show for 4 hours. I'd be on there for like 9 hours straight. So yeah, for years, I love the draft. I love the
amateur. Really miss it.
I love the amateur draft. I missed I love the amateur draft for baseball, the NFL draft, the NBA draft. Like, yeah, all drafting is all good. Before we get to the NBA draft, because definitely things to talk about there. The news coming over now that apparently Arch Manning made his decision that he's going to play at the University of Texas. Was there betting lines on where Arch Manning was playing? I'm guessing there probably was, but I'll ask, who was the favorite and how did that all play out now?
I think there was at some point. This was not like an efficient betting market that took like any money or anything. I think there might have been a market in one place for a little bit, but I think it got pulled because like this was not a surprise. Like, let's put it that way. So I, as someone who follows college football pretty closely, Arch Manning in Texas had been rumored for like a pretty long time, at least for the people that I talked to. So I don't think a lot of people made a lot of money on this. I don't think there was a lot to be made, but it's obviously it's a huge deal. And maybe this is a little inside college football, maybe for where we are in the calendar right now. But Texas obviously will go into this season with like a former number one recruit, Quinn Ewers, the guy who was at Ohio State, had the huge NIL deal, and then is now at Texas. And like has a lot of eligibility left. Now, obviously, at some point you would imagine he would like turn pro, but it's just kind of funny like that he and Arch Manning are actually going to be on the same roster for Sark down there in Texas. Actually, for what it's worth, I actually like Texas a pretty good amount this year too. And I would imagine with Arch Manning as their quarterback, a lot of people will like them for the next couple of years, but not a surprising decision that he's going to Texas.
Yeah, Sarkisian, obviously, I think had a lot to do with that and his ability to develop quarterbacks and offenses over the course of time. So I guess I'm really not all that surprised. Plus, you figure he wants to cut his own path different than, you know, Arch Manning and Peyton and Eli and have his own school and his own alma mater to roll with. So that to me, not all that surprised by it. So we'll see how that plays out. Plus, Texas headed to the SEC anyhow. So good luck to them on that
journey. Have fun finishing fifth.
Yeah, good luck. Okay, so NBA draft obviously is tonight. Now, been looking at mock drafts for, I don't know, 4 months. And, you know, the two guys at the top have been pretty much the same the whole time, right? Jabari Smith and Chad Holmgren, those two guys. One at Orlando has simply been Jabari nonstop here going forward. Then I wake up today and I go on Twitter and I see all these different sites now have changed and now are making Paolo Banchero the number one pick in this draft, and odds went from like plus 1600 to minus 200 or something crazy like that. So what happened, and do we think that the gambling world knows what's about to happen more than these supposed NBA insiders do?
This is definitely an interesting case. So the draft, any draft, and you're a fan of all drafts. You
yep.
just said that. So like you kind of remember this stuff too. This actually happens like all the time where there's like really weird stuff going on. And it's not always predictive. Like it's not that Banchero is going to be the number one pick or anything, but this is like a pretty common occurrence. And every time I feel like I'm just like, wow, really? Like this is what it's going to be. So it's just one of the fun things about drafts really is that they're, you know, there's a lot of people out there trading information. And some people think they know, and other people think they know, and it's just something different. And, you know, they kind of just battle it out basically in the market. I think just the little that I know about this, well, not the little that I know, but I know an okay amount. Basically, the rumor was last weekend that Orlando had not made up their mind whatsoever. Everybody thought it was going to be Jabari forever. And then last weekend, I think the rumor was like, they haven't decided at all. And so I think a lot of bettors were like, well, wait a minute, if they haven't decided, and Banchero's plus 2,000, then, like, I need to bet Banchero because there's some chance that it's him because they haven't decided yet. And Orlando is a very, like, you know, secrecy, not revealing anything. They have a type of player that they like, but really, 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 like, close to the vest. OKC and Houston are actually about the same, too. Like, really, really secretive with what they're going to do. So that's kind of why that got bet originally, is, like, kind of rumors, like, it could be all three of them still. And then basically just, like, a lot of betting on information the last 48 hours. People think that it was going to be Banchero, like they had gotten information to that effect. Now, there's a lot of stories historically about GMs, front offices, people that work in front offices giving bad reports to people who bet them and like actually burning relationships with even reporters. In the NFL, this happens all the time. People think like the pick is going to be a certain guy. They report it or tell people and it's not. So there's probably some of that. But I actually think there's a little bit of smoke here only in this way. So Woj obviously tweets this morning, drops the hammer, basically. Hey, it's going to be, and the way he frames this is so funny now in retrospect. 1-2-3, like, looks good. It's going to be, you know, Jabari Smith to Orlando, Holmgren to OKC, and Banchero to Houston. And the way he framed it, though, was not that they would go in those spots, because the rumor is, and I actually have, like, pretty good sourcing on this, Houston is obsessed with Paolo Banchero, to the degree that they could actually trade to one
yep.
to make sure Orlando doesn't pick him.
Yep.
And I actually have like really good sourcing that they're not that they want Banchero. They're literally obsessed with taking him and won't let anyone else have him. And if that means that Orlando gets to trick them, not altogether different from how Boston tricked Philadelphia to come take Markelle Fultz number one and Boston dropped down to three and took Tatum.
Who's now in Orlando, by the way. Yeah.
Right. Correct. And exactly. Weird connection there. But like this happens all the time. Team gets obsessed with a guy. Other teams find out that and try to leverage that information. So the funny thing in the betting market now is Banchero is still getting bet to go number one, like more than you would think for Woj having tweeted this. But the reason for that is that people are like, yeah, cool. Jabari Smith's going to go to Orlando. Third. Like, and he's asked, yeah, sure. He's going to go to the Magic. They love him. But maybe the Magic are trying to pull something off here to make Houston have to pay to go to one to take Banchero. So that's kind of what's happening right now. I don't think anybody knows for sure, or if people do know, it's like very sketchy sort of like information, and that's why you're seeing it still get bet like this. But that's kind of what's going on right now.
You know, it's interesting. Talking with Ken Barkley, You Better You Bet, BetQL Odyssey. Follow him on Twitter at Lockie Lockerson. When I saw this come out, I was sitting here thinking to myself, okay, so Sacramento at four is where everybody thinks this draft could spin around. They the owner loves Keegan Murray. He's went out to dinner with some of their players. He's been there, I think, twice maybe now in Sacramento. Ivy is a guy that I think is probably a more talented player, I guess, maybe. I like Ivy more than I like Murray. Again, now they have two guards already in Fox and Mitchell, so they really don't need a guard, but they didn't need Mitchell, and they ended up trading Halliburton, so that doesn't mean anything for Sacramento from that perspective. But I think in a perfect world here, if that ends up all going down here, if somehow or another Holmgren were to get to Sacramento at four, I think that would be maybe a dream scenario fit-wise to be able to have him, Holmgren, next to Sabonis as that stretch four help shot blocker, because God knows he's not going to block shots Sabonis. You're able to leave your backcourt in place without having to touch that and move forward. I just don't know if a guy like Ivy would go to OKC or Orlando if Houston were to go up to one.
Yeah, I mean, I think the funny thing would be, like, if that trade takes place, you know, does it really, like, upset what happens, basically? Because, you know, in the Tatum-Fultz situation, they knew that, what was it, the Lakers were going to take Lonzo Ball second, right? Was that right. That draft, I think, something yep. like that? So there was, like, a known quantity in between them. And I don't know if Holmgren to OKC is that at two, so they're just kind of flip-flopping around that. But, I mean, that'll definitely be interesting. There were some rumblings that, like, Holmgren had such bad, like, not medicals, but had yeah. basically not released any medical information. So it wasn't that he has, like, an injury. It's that his camp was, like, not giving out any medical information.
So then it's deemed as hiding stuff.
Right. So that obviously creates some uncertainty with teams that want to, you know, make you a franchise cornerstone. So there was some rumor, like, maybe he falls out of the top three because, like, teams just get spooked. I think he's going to go to OKC at two a lot of the time. Now, not all the time, but so I think what that does with Sacramento at four is kind of what you're talking about, where it's like, okay, maybe it's Keegan Murray. Also, it's so funny, even like the mock drafters who take this as seriously as possible. So what is it? Jonathan Givony works at ESPN.
Yeah.
His latest
with Draft Express, and then ESPN paid him a bunch of money.
Yeah. So this isn't to say like he's better than the others, but it's actually the funniest because I believe in his one this morning. He has Jaden Ivey going fourth, but not to a team because there's so many teams that want to trade up to take Jaden Ivey at fourth. So it's like, I don't know who's going to end up getting him. So it's like a question mark. And then Jaden Ivey at four, because like, we don't like, it probably isn't going to be Sacramento, or if it is, great. And they could pick Murray. So you're right. That's where a lot of the uncertainty is. Now the problem is in the betting market, there isn't really a lot to bet. Like, you can bet Jaden Ivey to go fourth, but you're paying a pretty hefty price for that. You can bet Keegan Murray's draft position is under 5.5. And you're like, oh, wow, under 5.5. Like, so if he goes fourth or fifth, I win. Right, but that's minus 300. So, like, is it a certainty or is it just something that's likely to happen? That's kind of what you're asking yourself with those two bets. So it seems like the most likely top five, obviously, is some order of Jabari, Chet, and Banchero, and then some order of Ivy and Keegan Murray. And then things probably get really crazy from that point on.
You know, and that's the thing here, right? So in the NFL draft, you always hear teams say, well, we're going to go with best available player. John Horst, the Bucks general manager, has already come out and said pretty much that he didn't want any projects. Like, that's not where this organization is. He wants a guy that can come in and play right away and not screw around. And that's what they're looking to do. Similar to like how they did with DiVincenzo a couple of years ago. Then you've got a team like Sacramento, who we just talked about drafting guards left and right. Then if you go back to 18, they took Bagley too when Luka was on the board because they didn't want to upset De'Aaron Fox. And they didn't take Luka Doncic. So what really is the best philosophy when you're in the NBA? Is it best available, or because you've only got five guys starting, is it trying to fill holes?
I mean, I think it really comes down to, and that Luka to Sacramento thing is so interesting, right? Because it's not just who Sacramento had. It was that Luka was like adamant through his camp, like, do not draft me.
Correct.
Like, please do not draft me.
Correct.
And knowing the history of the Kings organization, probably a worthy complaint to make. Please don't draft me.
Similar to Joakim Noah not wanting the Bucks to draft him. Same thing.
Sure. And yep. there's actually been a lot in this draft. Several of the players at the top were doing that to Orlando, actually.
Really?
Not sending them stuff, not communicating with them.
Oh man,
yeah. Didn't come
sucks.
In for workouts. Absolutely. I guess it's like, is that really surprising with the Magic and the Kings and the history of these organizations? I mean, to answer your question about just like, what should your philosophy be? I think it's like a really straightforward question, right? There's probably, I actually just did some work on this for the title futures for next year. You know, there's probably like 9 players who realistically could be the best player on a championship team. It's a small group. I mean, every year it's a small group, basically. Probably like under 10, something like that. So I think your philosophy in the draft is, do you have one of those guys yet or no? And Milwaukee is in the really fortunate situation where they absolutely have one of those guys and they know that they do. So they can draft a little different. They don't have to swing for the fences. But if you don't have one of those 9, or you like maybe do, but you're not sure, like Portland, for example, would be a good example. Like, is Lillard, he's kind of that fringe guy, basically. Then I think you just try to hit grand slams as many times as possible. Take as many shots as you can. And try to get one of those 9 guys, try to get whoever the next guy is.
That was John Hammond's philosophy when he was in Milwaukee. When he took Giannis, I said, dude, you're going to get yourself fired over this. What are you doing? And he said, hey, I can't hit a home run if I don't swing for it. And we're not going to get somebody to sign in Milwaukee. That's a superstar. So this is the only way we can do it. So that's what we're doing. And obviously he hit a grand slam and then, of course, wasn't here to benefit from it. Was gone by the time they won the championship. But you got to do the same thing at this point, I think, if you're in Orlando, too. All right, a couple of guys. Johnny Davis for the Badgers. Where does he go?
Whew, that's a really good question. So his draft prop has been, I'm actually getting the like updated one right now, just so I can give you the most up-to-date information. And I actually should have expected that you sent this to me. I think it's somewhere between like 11 and 13 is where he's projected to go, basically.
So lottery still.
Just from his draft position. So like back end of the lottery,
sure.
Who knows? He's sort of an interesting player, right, where it's like, you mentioned like which category does he fall into, right? Like he was obviously only really efficient last season. Is he like an upside guy or is he like a known quantity? That's sort of like, he sort of seems, strikes me as like somebody in between. I haven't heard him linked to any specific team. I remember hearing like probably doesn't fall out of the lottery, I think is my note for him. So I don't have a bet on his draft position, but yeah, like back end of the lottery for him makes sense.
I've got one more player. We've only got like 90 seconds left here. Pat
sure.
Baldwin Jr., who ended up playing for his dad at UW
Milwaukee.
Yeah,
that's a crazy story, right?
Right. Have
you talked about that on the show at all? That's been pretty wild. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Just like, was supposed to be, like, a huge recruit.
Right, exactly, right. And was recruited by everybody. Everybody wanted him, and he stays home. He gets hurt, doesn't play a ton. Is he a first-round pick, do you think, still tonight?
I think he's projected. It's, like, sort of in between, basically. But I always think in these situations, like in horse racing, there's a concept called back class, which is basically, like, you know, like how good you're like, it's in that one. It's like how good your parents are, or like previously, how well have you run in basketball? I always feel like if you were a big, big, big recruit, even if you did something not so great or made a bad decision or didn't play great for a little bit, teams will resort back to like, well, you were a huge recruit. So I do think that like upside or like potential is tantalizing, where he'll go ahead of guys who have like 2 to 3 good years of college basketball.
One last thing. Do you guys do lines on 24 in general, as far as who's projected to go at 24 for say the Bucks, if they sit there?
That's not. So I've tried to bet some of these because there's a lot of rumors that like the Cavs, I think, pick at 17 or something.
14, I think.
Yeah, it's middle of the first round for sure, and there's a lot of rumors now that they're going to take Jalen Williams. That's like going to be
that
the pick,
kid from
and everyone's
Santa
trying
Clara.
To find an exact market for this.
Yeah,
and it's like there's one book that has it; it's 7-1, but no one else offers it. So unfortunately, the team specific stuff, this isn't as good as the NFL draft, Sparky. Unfortunately, but, I wish it was.
But you know what though, and we gotta go. But I could talk draft all day. But the thing is, in the NFL draft, you have combine guys, right? Mamula, whoever that blow up sure. and have huge workouts. Very rarely.
Trayvon Walker, number
right.
one pick this year.
Exactly. Yeah. Very rarely does it happen in the NBA. That dude boosted his stock into where he is now because of that combine. It's simply amazing. Ken, thank you so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Sounds good, Sparky. Talk to you next week.
Take care. There he is, Ken Barkley on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider Tire and Drivers right now. For more info, call him 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show, serving up hot and fresh. The Sparky Pfeiffer with you. AR Adam Roberts, other side of the glass. Get that strawberry frosty right now. It's a beautiful day outside. Beautiful. I know there's travel baseball tournaments going on and travel soccer tournaments and basketball and all of that. Man, you get done with your game and you're done playing for the day or whatever. And drive through. Get your kid a strawberry frosty. Get yourself a strawberry frosty. Maybe the kids get a chocolate one. You get a strawberry one. Hit Wendy's up. And if you're going to Wendy's, their dining rooms are open, in case y'all don't know. Their dining rooms are open now at Wendy's. And in case you don't know this, if your kid is done with their game, any sport, and they have their jersey still on, if you drive through the Wendy's drive through, they get a small frosty for free. Yeah. After every game or at any time they're in Jersey, just go over there, boom, get yourself a free small frosty. Why not take advantage of it? Tell you folks that don't go to Wendy's a ton like I do, you all are missing out, man. Missing out. Ryan McDonough, Odyssey NBA insider, former GM of the Phoenix Suns, joins us coming up here in about 35 minutes.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.